I'm going to invite Colin up, Colin Duncan, who's a friend of Jeremy's from way back. He's going to speak to us this morning. Blessings, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, a clap. Clap's nice. Good. Hopefully you'll be clapping after I speak and you won't boo me or anything like that. That'd be good. Hey, great worship this morning. I love that violin. That is awesome. You guys had him here before? That just really adds something. I don't know. I sort of connect with that instrument or something like that. That and the bagpipes, which a lot of people don't like bagpipes, but it's something. I'm like more than half Scottish, and so I think there's something in my heritage. Like bagpipes start playing, I just start crying or something. It's like reaching deep into my history or something like that. So Jeremy, it's been a year since I preached before. Do I got the mic? Is this okay where the mic is like this? And I forgot how hard work it is. I'm all like, you know, I felt like God led me to a passage that we're going to preach about today, and I'm all excited and brainstorming and like, oh, this is good. But I forgot all the detail work. It's like, I know why the Bible says that those who work hard at preaching and teaching are worth double honor. And so, Jeremy, good job, all your preaching and teaching. It's not easy, all that detail work, trying to decide what you axe out and what you add, and is this actually accurate? And I mean, if you care about being accurate, and you know, if you don't, it's probably easy. But I tried to take some care in what I did. So anyways, I'll stop blabbing, and I guess I got about a half an hour because we got a vote to do. And so today what we're going to talk about is something pretty important. So anytime we start something, anytime that there's like anything that's a group of people that is put into motion that's started, we have to know like what this thing is about. And so what we're going to talk about is like, what is Jesus about? What's the heart of God? What is this? Jesus came to the earth and preached about a new kingdom. And so we have to know, like, what is this kingdom? What is Jesus all about? What is the main thing? And we're going to talk about in 1 Corinthians, end of 12 and 13. And these people had got away from the main thing. And if we do that, if we get away from the main thing, what is most important to God, a lot of times what can happen is we learn new stuff, but we kind of get off, or we don't have a grid to place it because we don't have priority, we don't have the right things in place, and so all the new stuff that comes into our life, it doesn't find its right grid or its right foundation in our life because we're sort of off a little bit, and that's what happened to these Corinthians. And so we always have to go back to the basics. We always have to go back to the foundation, and live from that place and always have that first and foremost. Like even when you're starting like a business, you know, you have to know like, what is this business about? You know, like Jeremy, I had a Starbucks this morning. You know, Starbucks, they have like, what is Starbucks about? And I prefer Tim Hortons. You know, like, what is Tim Hortons about? And you know, is one company they're all about customer service. The other one's like a product. We're all about the product. And they have to preach, you know, to make sure. And so Jesus came and preached about a kingdom. And we want to know, like, what are you about, Jesus? What is most important to your heart, God? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I've asked Charles. So I was here. I hate missing church. I missed the last 2 weeks. And we were away, and then a bunch of us were sick last Sunday, and you come, and then you get into the worship, and you're like, ah, oh, I hate missing church. And so I've been away for 2 weeks, but I think the last time I was here, Charles read some scripture, and Jeremy was talking about how he has got a great voiceover voice, and so I asked Charles to actually preach my whole sermon. I have the notes for you here, Charles, and so you just go right through it. And no, I asked him to, if you wouldn't mind reading the scripture today. Appreciate it. Thanks, Charles.
No pressure at all here. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll start at verse 31, and I'm reading from the NET. But you should be eager for the greater gifts, and now I will show you a way that is beyond comparison. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I receive no benefit. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious. Love does not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But if there are prophecies, they will be set aside. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be set aside. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect comes, the partial will be set aside. When I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I set aside childish ways. For now we see in a mirror indirectly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Awesome. Yeah, so love's kind of important because faith is important. It actually, there's like whole chapters in the Bible devoted just to faith. This is, we can't even please God without faith, but love is greater than that. Love's kind of important. It's like the main thing, and we can never lose sight of the main thing. And so what I did is, what I like to do usually is just preach right through verse by verse, and I was going to take the whole chapter. I preached the whole chapter, but this chapter is so meaty. I mean, every chapter in the Bible, there's so much meat, especially when you're like meditating on it, thinking about it, praying about it, praying through it. Like, there's so much to feast on. Like, this is awesome stuff. And so I think we'll just go verse by verse and we'll get to where we get to. And I'll just trust that God's going to speak to each one of us here. He's got something for everybody. It's the word of God. And so let's jump into it. So 12:31, and now I will show you a way that is beyond comparison. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the things, because it's in the scripture, about what these Corinthians, were majoring on. And what we're going to do is we're not going to bash anything. And so if you hear anything, I might sort of make fun of something a little bit. I'm not bashing anything. What God is doing through this scripture is he's placing supreme importance on love. And so he's not tearing down anything. He's lifting up something, and that's love. And so that's what we always have to make sure. What is highest in our life, what is the biggest value, has its proper place, and then everything else gets the right expression. So I guess I should define love right off the bat. Love is defined in the Greek as affection or benevolence, and benevolence is being well-meaning. So if I'm meaning you well, if I have this warmth and affection to you, that's what it's talking about. And then later on in the chapter, as you heard, God's going to define love a little bit more. But this is good because to have that definition, because what we're to do is to love one another. And so if we ever fall out of that place with anybody where we lose that sort of warmth and that desire for well-being for the other person, then we have something that we need to work on. You know, if we're in a relationship, some type of relationship, where we've lost our desire for being well-meaning for another person. So it's not... We'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's not the other person's fault that we fall out of love, because love is my responsibility and love is my thing. And so it's not dependent on another person's actions, reactions, positive, negative, whatever. Love's gonna love. And so if I fall out of love, if I lose my warmth for another person, then it's something that I have to work on, right? So if I speak in the tongues of men, we'll just go verse by verse here. And verse 1 is, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, that's kind of like actually sort of, I don't know if harsh is the right word, but that's like, this is the word of God. And so let's not sugarcoat anything, like a noisy gong. So I think some people are reading the commentaries and stuff. Some people talk about the noisy gong is like an empty sound to me. And others would agree with me. It's more like it's annoying. And so like shut it off. You know, it's clang, this noisy gong kind of thing. And so these tongues. So tongues are a gift. They're a gift available to each and every one of us. We can just ask God for the gift of tongues. And tongues are, the purpose of tongues is for self-edification. So it's great. It's an awesome little funny, goofy sort of a gift. It's like, you know, it's kind of weird, really. But in the flesh, it's sort of not normal. But it's free, and it's just, you can just at any time, it's like taking a coffee, you know, perk you up. It's like self-edification. You just pray in tongues. Just build yourself up. But what, you know, inside, but what these guys did were they were going crazy with tongues in a public setting. So they were going off the charts. And so what God is doing is saying that, you know, if you're doing it without love, without having other people in mind when we come together as a group, if what we're doing is just sort of a badge of spirituality, and that's what it was. And we all, you know, different places might have different things. Like, it's not always, like, here it's not tongues. Like, we're not all, so these guys would go on for hours and hours about tongues. And so I remember in, maybe some of you know, in the early 2000s, it was jumping. Jumping was your mark of spirituality. Boing, 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 boing. Just jumping. If you jumped in church, then you were spiritual. Right? And sometimes you'd be, yeah, look at Jeremy. He's on fire, dude. That was the mark. It didn't matter what you did throughout the week, but if you jumped when worship was on, you were spiritual. And then you get really spiritual. Maybe you jump in a circle. Maybe you go one leg, other leg, arms up, arms down. You know, just jumping was the mark of spiritual. And so for these guys, it was tongues. And so, by the way, I'm not bashing, like, maybe God was doing something at that time with the jumping. Like, actually, that sounds silly, but maybe. Like, my guess is there was sort of like this freedom thing. That's what people would talk about. Freedom! And jump, you're free. You're alive, you're living. The Christian dream, we're jumping. And but I remember in my circles, anyways, in Calgary at the time, I remember a guy who talked about it in our old church, who said he was in a church service during worship and he felt like God told him to start jumping. And so he started jumping and he was a leader. And so other people, it caught on and other people were jumping. And it was, you know, so I jumped, you know, it was like this sort of, it was fun, like, woo, we're jumping, it's great, it's good. But then sometimes also there would be sort of a shaming for those who didn't jump. It's sort of a little bit of a condemnation, like, you are dead. Like, you're so dry, you won't jump. It's like jumping is the Christian ultimate goal. Like, I don't think so. And so for these guys, it was tongues. And so if you didn't speak in tongues, like, you were dry, there was something wrong with you. And so everybody had to, when they came together, have their little tongues. And then I could just imagine how it escalated. And so Mrs. Brown would do tongues for 3 minutes, and so Mrs. White would have to do it for 4 minutes. And then Mrs. Green would start to sing her tongues, and so Mr. Red would have to sort of like do an interpretive dance or something. It just sort of probably just got way out of control. And so what God is doing is saying to all of us, to them and to all of us, when you come together, have love. So we're thinking of other people. And I got like a lot of grace for you know, expressing our heart to God. Like I love it. I almost come to tears, especially when, like, new believers come and they're just pouring out their, you know, we gotta, like, I got a lot of grace for that. But what he's doing with this scripture here is bringing some maturity to the public expression. And, you know, like I was in one service where there was some kick in worship and stuff, and it just like felt like, you know, just really in the throne room praising God and stuff, and all of a sudden, this shofar from behind me. It was like, whoa, it just like killed everything. And so then you got back into, okay, we're back, we're praising. Off it goes again. And so things like that. And actually, at that service, the guy that was leading worship actually asked him, so please, could you stop that? I love the shofar. It's awesome. I love your expression of worship. You want to, and apparently, I don't know, I'm not that deep, but it means something. And, you know, so this guy thought he was meaning something, but what he was actually doing was distracting everybody, especially the people like right in front of him. And then there's some people that, you know, I've been places during worship and the guy's like whistling super loud or like yelling. It's just like, and then everyone's attention is, and so what God is saying is that when we come together, so what we do at home is one thing, like tongues, jumping, shofar, whatever, it's all cool, it's all good, you're like, we go crazy. When we come together, we're mindful of other people. So that's what he's saying here. Let's move on to verse 2. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. Oh, yeah, I got another story on that. I was at another, sometimes I'm jumping all over. But I remember I was at another, we're in a worship service, and this guy felt like he had the need to touch the worship leader's foot. And so he was all kind of like, drunk in the spirit or something. He's crawling up there, holding her foot while she's leading worship. And the worst part was he was like, it was quarter moon. As like his pants were like, and so he's just like, oh man. Like, so this guy thinks he's, you know, obeying God and whatever. Like, I'm pretty easygoing with that kind of stuff. But what he's saying is we're mindful of other people. Sorry, back to verse 2 here. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, I would like that faith. That would be cool. But do not have love, I'm nothing. I don't know if God would trust me with that big a faith. Like if I could move mountains or even like a tree or something, I'd probably like at a barbecue be doing like party tricks. Watch this. Ooh, cool. You know, it's just sort of, it's not, you know, it's to be with love, right? And so these are great, great, great things. Prophecy. If I knew all mysteries and all knowledge. So if I knew the Bible back and forth, if I knew like every theology, if I could unite Calvinism and Arminianism somehow, if I was that intelligent, you think that I would be something in the kingdom, right? So this is like an awesome statement. If I knew all that, and if I was like the best, if I knew every prophetic thing, you come up to talk to me, I could give a prophetic word that would touch three generations down your line or something. But if I didn't have love, I'm nothing. And so each community, let's talk specifically about church, because that's what he's talking about. Each church, you know, there's like millions of different kinds of churches, and each place has its, oh, I've moved the mic up to my, is this okay? This is good? Okay, I guess I'm just resting it here. It's comfortable. But, so I've been to some churches like called Bible Church. And so you know what's the number one value, right? It's like Bible. It's like they have Bible study Wednesday. Bible study, you know, is Sunday morning. At Sunday school, it's Bible study. When we preach, it's Bible. And so that's the highest value, is knowing theology, which is awesome. Know your doctrine, right? We got to do that. It's good. It's freeing. The truth shall set you free. Awesome. Another place, you know, might be like the presence of God. Like the presence of God. So it's like worship and getting into that throne room and touching the feet of Jesus, not the worship singer, but And or another church, what would another church be? You know, there's all kinds of different things. You know, another place might be prophecy. It's all about, you walk in and the greeter is like prophesying, like, oh, I have a vision for you. And, you know, each place has its thing. And so if I'm a new person and if I am socially conscious and I want to be somebody in that community, I'll recognize what they value and then I'll chase after that for me so that I can be somebody. And so what this is what often happens is we recognize, okay, what are the leaders value? What is that church all about? And so I'm going to excel in that thing so I can be somebody, so I can meet some gnawing need within my soul to be somebody. And this is the whole worldly way of, this is the whole world, you know, personal betterment. A lot of it's like super great, super awesome. But this chasing after, I'm striving to be somebody because I don't feel like I am somebody. And as far as I understand it, Christianity, Jesus came and he actually made us something. So this gnawing desire to be somebody, to climb to the top of every social thing, or even it can be just a group of friends. What does this group of friends value? You know, good looks, maybe. So I want to be good looking. Like, I want to do everything I can to be good looking so that I can be somebody, so that I can be valued. It's about me. And this is what was happening there. And this is super, super common, right? Like, this is the human sort of nature. But Jesus came and he solved this. He solved this answer. Jesus is so awesome. He solved this need within ourselves to be somebody. It's called grace, and it's called him, his mercy. By his mercy, he made us something. And so now we no longer have to strive to be somebody within our community. So now that we're secure, love is so secure, and we live from that place. So he's cleared that whole thing. That whole thing is out of the way. I don't have to strive now. I'm free to love. So now I live from this place, and I love you with everything I got, with prophecy, with all mysteries, all knowledge. Really, he's talking about the gifts. And sometimes when we talk about the gifts, this is what we think. We think like faith, prophecy, sort of the more, you know, tongues, like more kind of so-called spiritual things. But if you read the list of gifts, and even in 1 Corinthians 12, some of the gifts are like administration. Woo! Administration, like so spiritual, right? That's a spiritual gift, a God-given ability to organize things. You know, or what's another, like sort of just put leadership, the spiritual gift, different than leading in the flesh, which there's lots of good stuff, but spiritually, the spiritual gift to lead the body of Christ in the things of God, you know. And so every one of us who's come to Jesus Christ is given a gift, and you can get more. You just ask for them, or the Bible talks elsewhere about the leadership laying on of hands, and people received a gift. And so, you know, like, I want the gift of administration because I'm such a mess or something, you know. But this is why we need each other. And we were talking earlier, we're not all the same. This is why the body of Christ, we need each other, and we need those spiritual gifts so that we all grow together. And it's a beautiful thing that God creates, and where we don't have to all try to be the best preacher, all try to be the best administrator, all try to be the best prophetic person. We're not striving for anything. This is what he's doing. He's putting, you can't put the gifts above love. Love has to come first, above all. It said, we read, beyond comparison. Other translations say, a still more excellent way. So it's plain. Love is more than the gifts. And some people, I don't know if this will mean something to everybody, but I think it will to some people. Gifts are not an end in themselves. It's like, so if we're in a place where the gifts are the ultimate priority, and we're all chasing after, you know, the gifts, the spiritual gift, prophecy or something, it's not like, okay, we've got prophecy, now we're arrived. Now we're all good, like we're something, because we, it's not, that's not the goal. What does he say in, actually in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:12, he says something good. He says, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, so this church, this Corinthians, they were like if you like that kind of thing, like you would love this place. Like they were like, it was spiritual gifts times, you know, 1,000, probably like nothing we've seen, maybe, I don't know, whatever. But since you're eager for manifestations of the Spirit, seek to abound in order to, so there's a why. So the gifts are not an end in themselves. In order to. So there's a why. Why am I chasing after gifts? And later, and remember, we're not bashing any gifts. We're putting priority. But actually, the first verse in the next chapter says, eagerly desire the gifts or pursue the gifts. And so to finish this, 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, in order to strengthen the church. So that's the purpose of the gifts. And so that's why if we don't have love, we're nothing. But if we do have love, so if we are all about being well-meaning to other people, then the gifts then become a tool to love. And so, and to build people up, specifically the church, but also outside. And so if I have a friend and I love my friend, and my friend has a problem, struggling with something, and I just don't know how to help him, this would be a good reason to seek a gift, some type of gift, like, God, I just need, you know, more knowledge. God, I just need, like, a word for this guy. Like, I don't know how to help him. Lord, I need more, whatever. This is, what I'm saying is, this is, love is a reason to pursue the gifts. Why do we pursue the gifts? They're not an end in themselves. They're not trying to make us be something. They're not a status symbol. They're before God. It doesn't make us something, because just in their nature, they're gifts. They're gifts. How can it make us something when it's given? They're freely given. We don't earn any gifts. So they're not they're not making us something special. What they are is to be utilized. They're this beautiful place. The church is to be a beautiful place of love, where we love each other with everything we got. And then we can be like the apostles who said, what I have, I give you. These people wanted money, and the apostles didn't have money, but they said, what I have, I give you. And so that's what, it's beautiful. When we come to Jesus, it says, somewhere else, it says, he ascended on high and gave gifts to all men, or gifts to men. And so we all have something to give. We all have something to love other people with. And that's the goal. That's the aim. So it's not for us to be something. We already are something. It's amazing what we already are. Like you, and actually, this whole chapter, like when I first thought we'd do the whole chapter, but each verse is like a message in itself. So I don't think we're going to get too far. That's cool. That's okay. But some of the stuff that God says in the Word about who actually we are is astounding. Like we have no reason to have self-esteem issues or something like that. Like, and it's all because of Jesus. It's just like the life of a Christian is just thank you. Like, okay, like you're amazing. Like, you've seated me in heavenly places. Like, I don't even know what that means. I have no idea, but it sounds pretty good. And like some of the other stuff that he like co-heirs with Jesus, like Jesus, like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't deserve any of this. And that's kind of the point. It's like, praise you, Jesus. Like, I accept. And now I'm not going to use my church. I'm not going to use the people in my church to be something. I'm actually going to love people with everything that you've given me. And what happens is then every day has purpose. And so in the States, maybe you've heard that, I guess suicide rates are just like astronomical right now. A lot of, and opioid, yeah, it didn't sound right. Opioid. How do you know that? No, just kidding. I'm just joking. Those things, they, overdoses. And there's just this loss of meaning and loss of purpose. There's just such an aimlessness, and there's such these huge shifting social things going on. We're not homogenous anymore. People have kind of lost their way. And so with love, we have purpose. Every day we have purpose and meaning. Is that everything that we're given, we invest in other people. All right, let's move to verse 3. And we are definitely not going to get very far today, but that's fine with me. If I give away everything I own, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I receive no benefit. So now he's kind of expanding the conversation. In chapter 12 and in chapter 14, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and then we have this love chapter right in the middle. But and so he was talking about in church, and now he's sort of expanded it beyond just the church gathered. And what he's talking about here, give everything I own or give my body over in order to boast. Other translations say martyrdom. Don't know if that's exactly right, but anyways, what he's talking about is sacrifice. So, if I have this deep, deep, deep sacrifice, which is highly, highly esteemed, right, in all religions around the world, like all these young men joining ISIS, is like sacrifice. You know, I want to be a martyr for my God, or this deep, deep commitment. And I remember. Billy Graham used to say that young people want a challenge. And I remember being a young people, that's what they used to call them way back, but being a youth and a young adult, and we were really, really challenged. And it was awesome because those times where people are deciding like to devote our whole life to Jesus and everything. It's awesome and it's beautiful when a person comes to that point where they're like, yes, I give it all to Jesus. But I remember as a young guy talking with some of my friends at the time, and we're like talking about, like, I want to be a martyr for Jesus. And, you know, it's like this idea of like being like so sold out. And so we didn't sacrifice, but we just wanted to. So it's different than what he's saying here a little bit, but along the same lines. They're so sold out, but you can be that. You can be that and not have love, and you don't gain anything. Like, you can be so devoted. And so that's what I mean, like, with other, you can be so sold out to a cause, social justice, whatever, injustice, fighting injustice. You can be so sold out for Jesus that you would give your life over to be martyred. Like, I will give everything. It's awesome, but if you don't have love, there's no benefit. That's how amazing love is. We have to get this right. So before God, and the other side of it is anything that we do in love is rewarded. It is rewarded. And so maybe love, if we're so filled with love for our friends, for people, for another person, then we probably will be willing to die, probably will be willing to give more than we normally would because we love so well, and all that stuff is rewarded, and so we can be martyrs for the wrong reason. So, even if we have like a call, so Connie and I and our family, we're called to plant a church, and so, you know, we feel like that's what God wants us to do, so that's what we're doing. We hope to plant in January, so we're with you guys for about seven or eight months, and we know Jeremy and Matilda, and we're just here to love you guys and serve you guys in any way we can. Maybe we'll make some lifelong loving relationships. Who knows? But we'll be here. And so we're answering the call. But if we lose love, if we're just all so narrow focused and zoomed in on love, I mean on the call, answering the call, and forget love, it's no benefit. There's no benefit. We have to make sure in everything that we do, and everything, even if we're called to, and everything that we're so devoted to, we got to make sure that we have love, number one. Make sense? Okay. We're going to end there, but because we got a vote to do. And but here's the thing. This is what Jesus calls us to, each and every one of us. And maybe another time we'll get into defining love a little more. In verse 4 to 7, he begins to talk about what love is and what isn't. And so we get a little bit of a clearer picture to help us to be good lovers. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus came preaching a kingdom, and he invited all men and women to come, and children, everybody, to come and be a part of this thing. His heart is for every human being on the face of the earth to be loved. He desperately wants us all to be loved, all our friends to be loved, because God is love. Later on in this chapter, he said, love will remain. And then you see, if you read on there, he's talking about it'll remain even into heaven, even after this earth is done away with. So love is the culture of God. Love is this relationship. So in heaven, it's going to be perfect love. It's going to be the best place ever. But let's not just wait there. Like, he wants the church to be this, and he's calling every human being to come in and say, yes, God, yes, Jesus, I'm about what you're about, and I will put love for other people above everything else. Jeremy.
Thanks, Colin. Let's give him a hand this morning.
Oh, I did get a clap after.
You're right, that's a meaty chapter. I mean, that's a meaty chapter. When we started City Mosaic, that was the first three messages I preached was out of 1 Corinthians 13. And I liked what you said there, that love is the culture of God. I'm actually going to take that, and we're going to put that into use. Love is the culture of God, because later on in the chapter, it does say, even if everything passes away, gifts, whatever we've done, if all these things pass away, one thing remains, and that's love. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. And so we're going to invite Dan to come up and share the results, or Nathan, I'm not sure which one, but is he back? There you are. And we're going to hear the results of this vote. And I'm going to share one more thought on how love is going to affect what we do over the next year after he's done. But Dan, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so thank you, everybody who followed the instruction and participated in this. I know that there's still some that are looking at it right now, and feel free, we still want to see that. As of right now, after telling the results, we have a 96% acceptance rate on this prescription. So based on that, there is a line on there that states the council will be reviewing this, but I can pretty much safely say that we've already done that, and so we will be moving forward. So praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, that's worth clapping for. And, you know, the exciting thing is, when you have vision and you have something, a goal to look forward to, you know, it's going to make this next year very exciting, because we're going to be able to focus, right? We're going to be able to look at our energies and our efforts in the kingdom and say, hey, what are we doing well? What are we not doing well? So stay tuned. And you know what? As I mentioned earlier, prepare your heart, too, for what it is that the Lord has for you in this, because it's going to require volunteers. It's going to require some work. It's going to require some effort. And we're all in this together. So praise the Lord. I'm really pleased to report that, and I'm going to hand the mic back. So thank you, everyone.
So kind of how this is going to work then is love will form the basis of everything that we do. And so, Colin, thank you for being obedient to the Lord and hearing what he would say. Because it's the reminder that we're here to love people, because you can do all of these amazing things. We can have the most incredible gifts. I can give incredible words of prophecy. We can do all these things, and it's actually about us. Oh, look at the word that I can give. Look at the things that I can do. I will bring such glory into the service. And that might sound kind of facetious and funny, but that's actually what happens. But when love is the basis of everything, it causes us to go out and say, God loves you so much that I want you to know him. I'm going to serve you. I will give my life. Imagine martyring your life and it being for naught because you didn't do it out of love. We're going to love this community. We're going to love each other. And it sounds so simple, But sometimes simple, in fact, I would say almost always, simple's the best way to go. We're just going to love each other. We're going to love this community. We're going to give this thing to God, and we're going to see what happens. So I won't get into it again. We'll be hearing more as we go just on how we're going to do things. But the one thing I would ask you guys is that you would take these prescriptions, as it were, these strengths, these weaknesses, and you would begin to pray over them. Would you please make it a daily part of your prayer life? That the Lord would show us how to do these things. We can have the greatest ideas, but if it's not done in love, we're just a bunch of clanging cymbals and gongs. And I love that picture. I said it when I preached on it. A gong is just bong. It's a useless instrument, except unless you want kung fu guys to come flying out behind you and start fighting, which is fine, but it's not going to serve our purpose. You know what I mean? It's just a one-note instrument. Let's be about love, and let's be about the culture of God. Amen.